And now, KSCO presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
Good afternoon, Central Coast and Monterey Bay. This is Glenn here. I'm here for the vacationing Dr. Bill Wattenberg. And as usual, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to shake things up, and we're going to take a lot of phone calls. We have about 5 minutes past 12 o'clock, and I'm going to be talking with you right on up until 2. We're going to promise you not a dull moment in radio. And as usual, I'm going to come out with a unusual and controversial topic. Today is going to be the subject of men who are oppressed by women in society. And what am I talking about? Well, throughout the 1950s and earlier, we were in a very patriarchal society. You guys may have heard me do this topic before because I talked about Tom Likas and Likas 101, because he's talking about men who are getting ripped off by women on dates and in relationships. But I'm going to broaden the scope a little bit. In a moment, I'm going to introduce a guest by the name of Marty Nemko. You may have heard of him. He's been doing radio in the Bay Area for many years. But I just want to introduce the topic by saying, now, you know, we are no longer in a patriarchal society. What I would argue is that we are now in a matriarchal society. Things have swung. The pendulum has swung in the other direction, and we are experiencing right now what I would call reverse discrimination. Men who are under the thumb of women in the workplace and in other social situations are being treated unfairly, and they have nothing to say about it and nothing that they can do about it because of this this cloud of political correctness that's going on right now. Many of you are Rush Limbaugh listeners. You know Rush Limbaugh, his shtick. He made a joke. He called this woman a slut, and the weight of the world is now on his shoulders. So we know that it is very difficult right now for men to say anything, even to an employer. If you are a man working for a woman out there, maybe you have an issue with your female boss. You can't say anything. Why? Because she's a woman. Maybe you have a son who's going to school and is acting out like a boy. Boys will be boys, but they can't be anymore. Right now, boys have to be girls. And if they're not going to be nice, little, well-behaved, sophisticated, girly-like kids, then maybe they need to go on Ritalin. We're going to talk about all these things with my guest Marty Nemko in just a minute. But I want to say I have a friend that's going through a divorce right now. And he, is being treated very unfairly by the courts, and he is not getting a fair custody of his kids. And I think we're dealing with a pervasive bias in our society, throughout society, whether you're talking about dating, marital, kids in school, custody, courts. Everything seems to favor the women right now in society, and we're gonna delve into this fascinating topic. Are we living in a matriarchal society? Has discrimination swung? The pendulum has swung in the entire other direction, and now we are living in sort of a dictatorship of and by the women. It's time for guys to fight back. At least we're going to try to do that, and we're going to try to create some fair and balanced radio in the next 2 hours with your host, Glenn. And I am going to not wait any longer. I am going to push this button here, and I'm going to pull up Mr. Marty Nemko and put him on the radio. Marty, can you hear me?
I hear you beautifully.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining KSCO Presents today. In for Dr. Bill Wattenberg. I'm sure you remember him from the other radio station. And we're very excited to have you here. So welcome aboard.
I'm happy to be here. Hopefully we will provide both light and a little bit of heat for the listeners.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So listen, you have let me just give the listeners a brief background on how I came across you. First of all, I was listening to another radio station. We won't mention it by name. And I was extremely, impressed and a little bit shocked that Michael Finney was doing this show on a topic that you wouldn't expect someone like him to do. He seemed like a mild-mannered, you know, present both sides of the story like everyone does at this other radio station. It's not a very opinionated-oriented radio station. It's very much middle of the road. Well, here's one side of the story, and here's the other side of the story. And then you hear him get on the air and talk about this Huggies commercial in which men are presented as idiots because they can't even do anything. They can't even change a diaper. And I am a father of twins. I have two girls. They are 2.5 years old. And I do everything. I change diapers. I make bottles. I feed them breakfast. I rock them to sleep. I dress them. I do everything. And I found that that commercial was very insulting. But throughout my day-to-day life, I run into situations where people judge me as a father. As you know, why are you doing this? Where's the mother? And I think people look at me a little bit differently, and they think because I'm a man, I can't give the nurturing, loving care that my wife can to my kids. And then I heard you on the air on his show, and you talked about this organization that you've spearheaded called the National Organization for Men. Is that it?
That's correct.
And I said, wow, that's something you would have never thought of it. That there, you know, of course there's a national organization for women, but I didn't know there was a national organization for men, and you're in charge of it. So let's find out why, how did it come to be? And, what do you think about what's going on today? Let's just hear everything you've got to say.
Well, first of all, in full candor, the National Organization for Men started when two people, Warren Farrell, who is probably the world's leading expert on men's issues, and me, decided that there really is ubiquitous, unfair treatment of men and boys by the media, in the school curriculum, in healthcare policy, in divorce, in custody. And so we thought it was appropriate for us to try to educate the media so that they would treat men and boys more fairly relative to their merit than they currently have. So we tried, and we could, you know, I've got quite a background as a journalist and writer. I'm a columnist now for The Atlantic and The Washington Post. I was a columnist for 6 years at The Chronicle. I've hosted my own radio show on NPR and on KGO. And so between Warren's really world-class expertise on men's issues and my media experience, we thought that we could intelligently and fairly educate the media to provide a fairer perspective about men and how men are treated relative to women and boys treated relative to girls. We got nowhere, despite countless press releases, phone calls, essays, letters, media appearances. We have been absolutely stonewalled. The media is so dominated by feminists, both men and women, that it has essentially rendered us with duct tape on our
mouths. Neutered. Well, let's duct tape down there where the sun don't shine.
So to speak, where I like to talk with my head rather than where the, down there, but certainly we have been censored. There's no question. And it's not like we're some wild, radical, crazy, tom-tom beating guys. I have a PhD from Berkeley. I taught in his graduate school. I'm not some right-wing Nazi. I'm a moderate guy. And yet, no matter how intelligent, no matter how thoughtful, no matter how well presented, there is no way to get through what has been called the lace curtain. And that results in everybody getting a biased presentation of how men and women should be and are treated in today's world.
Okay, there's three specters, okay, three spheres, and let's talk about them individually. The three spheres are the workplace, children, you know, children in schools, like boys and girls, and then, you know, the dating circuit or the social situations. Let's start with the workplace. How is it right now? And let's debunk some of the myths out there about women and men in the workplace. Let's talk about that.
I have a lot to say about that because that's really what I do full time in my life. I'm actually a career coach and I've had 3,900 clients. So let's talk about how, first of all, how the workplace has changed. Well, let's start with what women always think of first, which is that women are underpaid relative to men. Here is the true apples-to-apples comparison. And I'm not meaning to brag it, but my PhD is actually in the evaluation and research methodology. So I know about statistics and how you can lie and tell the truth. Of course, overall, women earn only 77 cents on the dollar compared to men. But that does not take into account whether it's for the same quality and quantity of work. For example, people who say they work full-time, men work 6 hours a week more who say they work full-time than women who say they work full-time. So that is one reason men earn more. When they do comparisons even within individual fields, like physician, they say, well, physicians, men earn more, men doctors earn more than women doctors. Well, that sounds like sexism until you scratch the surface just a little bit. Men are much more likely to have high-stress doctor jobs like surgeon than a woman is. A woman is more likely to be a pediatrician. A male doctor is more likely to work longer. His training in his internships and especially his residency is likely to be longer. For example, an oncology residency is 3 to 4 years. A pediatric residency is shorter. So when you compare the stress, and of course the stress of being a surgeon versus a pediatrician is higher in general. So when you really compare apples with apples, you see if you compare the same quality and quantity of work, women are actually paid more than men for the same work. And if you look at unmarried women, they are, study after study, women under 30, women are paid $1.16 for every dollar the man works for the same work.
Got it, Marty. Yeah, no, no problem. I really appreciate your refreshing point of view. And the other thing is women, they have a time a month. And last night, my wife said to me, you know, maybe you should have married a man. And I said to myself, you know what? I think I'm cursed. My biggest curse in life is that I'm not gay. If I was gay, I'd be able to marry a man. Thing is, men are more rational and most of the time. And you know, hey, if you're a woman out there and you don't like what I'm saying, 479-1080. But the fact is, every 2 weeks or so, you start the PMS. Then you got the period. Then you got the post MS. And so, how can women be more rational on the workplace? I mean, I don't see how that could be.
I prefer, you know, I know you want to be a little incendiary, and I tend to, you know, I understand that, but I think, without necessarily needing to be incendiary, we can make the case. Women have advantages over men. Women generally are better listeners. They are better at intuiting, and there are many exceptions, but women are better at intuiting what's really going on behind what's said. They are perhaps better multitaskers. So I'd rather not get into the game of whether women are genetically inferior because they've got PMS or they're better.
No, I don't think genetically inferior. They have qualities, certain qualities, and certain liabilities. But there's no doubt about it that I don't think there's any you know, contest. I think men tend to be more rational and deal with problem solving in a more rational basis.
One thing I can certainly say that there's you know, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I just don't want to go there. But I'm willing to say for sure that while they say, for example, that IQ, intelligence is measured by IQ tests, the men and women are equal, and they are, but that's partly because the test was constructed. They kept changing items to ensure that men and women score the same. And one thing we know is that at the very high end of the IQ scale and at the very low end of the IQ scale, while the averages are the same, the real high scorers in IQ are way disproportionately men, and the way low scorers are disproportionately men. Women tend to have a smaller range. So that's why you see in the really high intelligence demanding fields like computer programming, physics, engineering, etc., which require a great deal of brain power, you have many more men than women. That's not primarily because of sexism or glass ceiling. There really are, at the upper ends of the intelligence distribution, there are more men than women.
Okay, so before we go on to the other spheres of reverse discrimination, let's talk, how are men treated unfairly in the work situation now? Can you give me an example or two?
You bet. Certainly in the 50s or earlier, the dominant approach to the way in which a workplace was run was very male-centric. It was very hierarchical. The boss says, you do it because I told you to. It was clear command and control. It was, you know, individual cowboys were recognized. But that has completely changed, and not to a balance, but today's workplace is totally feminized. Everything is collaboration, teamwork, process, feelings. Competition is almost a dirty word, and that makes it a very male-unfriendly place. I am in favor of a gender fair approach where, yes, there is a time where individual aggressive dominating guys or women should be rewarded. And yes, there is a time and a certain part of the workforce or workplace where a collaborative, process-oriented, team-oriented approach. But it is not that way. We are not celebrating diversity in the workplace. If you're a man who is aggressive and competitive, you are going to generally suffer a lot in the workplace.
And it definitely happened to me. Before I started my own business, that definitely applied to me. I started my own business at a very young age. But when I was in the workforce in the early 90s, I came under that problem, and I couldn't deal in that environment. And actually, I had run-ins with a lot of women who couldn't handle my competitive, fierce attitude. Now, I do want to open the phone lines at 479-1080. We're going to move through a lot of phone calls. So if you just want to call in, spout off for a couple seconds, and make way for the next caller, you can call in. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to leave you on hold for a long time. 479-1080 to be on the radio. And if you want to talk about a situation you have in your workplace, you can use a fake name. You can call in, and we won't know who you are or where you're calling from. If you're frustrated being treated unfairly as a man, or maybe you're a woman who can't believe what she's hearing and wants to provide some balance, we are more than happy to talk to you and take your call at 479-1080. We have three lines open right now, and we'd be more than happy to take your call, 479-1080. Now, while those phone lines are being stacked up, let's talk about the other spheres. We have, the dating environment and what it's like to be and you know, that the social situations. And we have the situation of kids and how kids are being judged in schools and how they're being treated. Which one do you want to tackle first, Marty?
Well, you had first, when you first mentioned it, you mentioned kids first. Let's do kids first, and then we can certainly do dating.
Okay.
I have to say that if I were – I have a daughter, just a daughter. But if I had a son, I'd be very sad about the world in which he is growing up, because everything about the world today is really aimed at making a boy feel inferior and not fit in. Every time he turns on the TV, whether he's seeing whether it be a cartoon or a sitcom or the news or the movies or whatever, disproportionately there are individual exceptions – but disproportionately, you're going to see the boy being portrayed as dumb or ill-advised or evil, being shown the way of wisdom by a girl who's perky and smart and efficacious. And so it is not surprising. When I first started as a career counselor, 25 years ago now, both my young men and young women clients who were in high school or college seemed equally optimistic about their future. Now, disproportionately, I am seeing the boys and young men being despondent or angry, and the girls are feeling the world is their oyster, because it is. It is not random that all the school shootings have been boys, and frankly, white boys, because they are the ones who are constantly denigrated in the school curriculum. They're the ones who in the classroom are being also forced to be in always cooperation and collaboration and reading books about relationships and very female-centric stuff rather than heroism or adventure. And so they feel like the inferior sex, and so they bottle up all of this anger when they see, for example, girls who are giggling and chatting and able to sit for 6 or 7 hours a day doing seat work, and they, because they can't sit that long, the teacher will often recommend that they get put on a Ritalin leash. There is huge either depression or fury in the young men and boys. The suicide rate for young men is much higher than for girls. So it's a very, very difficult time for young male kids.
Let's take a call. Gary in Seaside, thanks for calling 479-1080 to be on the radio.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up the subject. I think that this is a huge part of what political correctness is. I believe that political correctness is feelings being amplified so that the truth can't be heard. And feelings is a predominantly a feminine trait. And men, generally, although there's balance in the area that is absolutely needed, I think that we are, everywhere you turn, feelings is amplified so much that that the truth cannot be heard. And I think a lot of times what is considered anger management classes is basically a place where a person goes to get indoctrinated to the fact that this society is now on its head. And I just, you know, I got to tell you, having lived this in terms of some things that have happened in my marriages, where I got to tell you, in terms of teenage girls, I think that teenage girls in blended homes are generally heads of the household. They rule the roost, and I would say that that's not in every household, but I say that that's in a lot, probably the majority of blended households. The teenage girl is rules the roost in front of her mom even. And I appreciate you bringing up the subject, and I think that our land and our freedoms are hinging upon a socialization that is happening because feelings are dominating truth.
Marty, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I do think that emotions, you know, we all have them, males and females, and sometimes males, you know, let's put aside even who can push them down better. But I sure have seen in the workplace the people, men and women, who can really keep their emotions under control and really value rationality, get more done. It is a better place. I think we should be polite to each other. I think we should be respectful. I don't think rudeness is necessary. An occasional explosion, it may be tolerated. But I do think that the feminist movement has legitimized the increased role, as the caller said, of emotion. And I don't think that ultimately serves anyone. It's a myth that getting your feelings out really ends up solving things. Very often it creates a more ultimately irrational workplace and an irrational home life. The happiest people, both in work and out of work, the most productive workplaces, are those that do really work hard at staying rational and not always venting your feelings, not always needing to process issues, but really working hard, male or female, to really stay on the merits of whatever the issue they're working on is.
Steve in Carmel Valley, you called 479-1080 to be on the radio. Welcome.
Yeah, part of this thing about the boys is, you know, you see like Eric Harris at Columbine, and usually if you just wait 24 to 48 hours after one of these shootings happens, you know, information will come out that they were seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist, and then you dig a little further and it comes out that they were on antidepressants or some of these Ritalin antidepressant type drugs. Because when I was a kid growing up in the 50s and 60s, nobody ever shot anybody like this at schools and other places.
Well, the schools have certainly become a target for boys because the curriculum is so anti-male. You look at the history curriculum and you see endless extolling of Sacagawea and Pocahontas, and disproportionately the men are viewed as a monster. You see a tremendous amount of time spent on Joe McCarthy and Hitler and people like that. And so it's a relentless message, that plus the constant emphasis on female-centric cooperative learning and relationship-based reading and all this other stuff just makes the boys go really pretty crazy, which is one of the and, of course, teachers, 93% of all elementary school teachers are women. So it's extremely, extremely girl-centric place, which leads to tremendous, tremendous frustration. We need to have more male-friendly curriculum, probably more male teachers, although the data on male teaching versus female is not real clear. But certainly boys are getting a very tough deal these days. I worry about the next generation. It's not surprising that right now many fewer boys go to college. They've faced a nonstop indoctrination of how inferior they are, K through 12. Do they really want to go to college where the indictment of males is even accelerates even more? All the gender studies programs are really male-bashing programs. All the American studies programs bash males constantly. And so the guys drop out, they get high, they sit and play video games, and they hide, because who would want to take that nonstop assault?
Yeah, who wants a beating? And the thing is you're trying to turn men into boys, or vice versa. What if you tried to turn women into men? That they would revolt too, because they are naturally not that. You know what I mean?
No. While there are many exceptions, boys in general are more competitive and more aggressive. And used wisely, with wisdom, aggressiveness and competitiveness are some of the strongest forces for good. If we look at the greatest inventions, whether it be Google or it be the iPhone or the television or the cure for diseases, They came from relentless, driving competitiveness, like Craig Venter, who was the decoder of the human genome. Unlike the big government initiative, which cost billions and was all a collaborative team effort, basically Craig Venter, on his own, working a million hours a day for years, ended up decoding the genome faster and cheaper than the government effort. We need to honor individual heroism. If somebody works long hours, let's say a cardiologist, works nights and weekends to see more patients so that that scared patient doesn't have to wait so long to see the doctor, he's called a workaholic. Well, that's a very feminist term, rather than calling him heroic, a hard worker. This is all part of what is, you know, women love to extol work-life balance. They love the idea of balancing work and home and day spa and work and friendly time and family time and cooking. And a man who chooses to say, I will make a better contribution if I work very long hours, whether I'm a bricklayer or I'm a CEO, that person, instead of being extolled as a hero, is denigrated as a workaholic, pathologized as though like an alcoholic. That has to change if we want an America that we will feel proud of moving forward as
okay.
we compete with China.
Marty, thank you. Steve, thank you. I'm going to take a commercial break. Marty, stay right there. We're going to take some more calls at 479-1080 right after this.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Walk on.
Trudy, you all right?
I'm practicing for karaoke nights at Britannia Arms. You know, Fridays in Aptos and Saturdays at the new pub in Capitola. Will you come to cheer me on?
Well, I don't know.
Come on.
You know what, Trudy? You do really well at the trivia night at Britannia Arms. Wednesdays in Aptos, Tuesdays in Capitola.
Crikey, I might just have a go at that.
Right, there's always a reason to go to the Britannia Arms. Great live music Saturdays in the Aptos pub and Fridays at the new Capitola one.
Music and grub by the ocean sounds lovely.
And I hear there's going to be an awesome St. Paddy's Day celebration at both pubs.
The pipes are calling.
Karaoke, trivia, live music, any night's a fun night at Britannia Arms. Now they have two pubs to choose from because
two Brits are better.
The Britannia Arms now has two locations, in Capitola Village on the Esplanade and at 8017 Soquel Drive in Aptos.
Security Crime Prevention will watch your business while you're out creating more business. Hello, my name is Drew Griffith, owner of Security Crime Prevention, with offices centrally located in Watsonville. If you own a small business, a strip mall, apartment complexes, have vacation rental properties, manage a homeowners association, or produce special events and festivals throughout the Central Coast, Security Crime Prevention will take the worry out of your being away by watching out for you. Listen.
Nate Smith from Nate Smith's Optimal Auto Care. Years ago, we had a few incidents of vandalism, so we contacted SCP Security, which has completely eliminated any problems we've had, and we've been very happy with their service.
Take the worry away from being away from your business. Call Security Crime Prevention and ask for a free, no-obligation security consultation for your property. 831-728-7222. 831-728-7222. Or online at scp-security.com. Security Crime Prevention is watching out for you.
Dr. Bill Wattenberg is brought to you today by Security Crime Prevention in Watsonville. Call and ask for a free, no-obligation security consultation for your property at 831-728-7222 or visit Security Crime Prevention online at scp-security.com. A proud member of Think Local First.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
AM 1080 KSCO, this is Glenn, and we are taking your calls at 479-1080. to be on the air. We have a guest with us. His name is Marty Nemko, and we're talking men. I would love to hear from you. If you are a man who feels somehow that pendulum has swung in the other direction and you're getting treated unfairly at the workplace or anywhere else, or if you're a parent, maybe a female or a male parent who has a son in school who thinks that the weight of the school is not in his favor, we'd love to hear from you, 479-1080. Or if you think that this is all a crock, we'd also like to hear from you as well. I'm going to bring Marty back on. Marty, where were we? Are we going to – can we talk now about dating and the social life aspect of this, or
– We certainly can. There's another area that I also think we should not end our discussion without discussing, which is health. The way men are treated in health, and also the way men are treated in courts. You were talking about the divorce court issue.
Yes.
So you want to talk dating, you want to talk health, you want to talk courts.
Let's talk in that order, dating, health, and courts. And meanwhile, the lines are all open at 479-1080. If you want to chime in, we're wide open to taking your call, 479-1080. Go right ahead, Marty.
Okay, let's talk health, because it's the most shocking, really. We always hear, we see endless runs for breast cancer, endless political campaigns. You walk into a Safeway half the year, and it seems like half the labels are pink. They got banners or pink ribbons. Pink, 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 pink. I put my go into the Safeway, and I even try to make my deposit into my Wells Fargo that's in the Safeway, and all that. I'm welcome with a pink ribbon. And yet, many more men die younger and earlier of all of the top 10 diseases. When was the last time you saw a ribbon for sudden heart attack? You don't even hear about sudden heart attack. If you see any kind of commercials or advertisements for heart disease, it's women and heart. You look on Coke cans and bottles, it's women and heart disease. Even though men not only get many more of those heart attacks and earlier, but overall, and this is the shocking statistic, men live 5.2 years shorter than women and their last decade in worse health. And yet, you would think that it was the other way around. And some really shocking statistics. Over the last 60 years, lest you think that most medical research has been done on men, which is what the feminists like to say, in fact, if you do a PubMed search, PubMed is what indexes 3,000 medical journals, over the last 60 years, 95%+ of gender-specific medical research has been done on women. And when men are used in subjects, it's because it's where they're using a drug for children for people of childbearing age, and they don't want to try an experimental drug with a woman who could be pregnant, thereby damaging the fetus. It's not the horrible sexism. It is the unfairness in the way men are treated with regard to health is a nightmare. One more thing.
And let's also, I mean, an extension of that is when men go to fight, when they're either drafted or a volunteer, they are put in the front lines. They're given the much more dangerous positions in the military. And very often, I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but I would say that 9 out of 10 people who die in the line of duty are men.
99%. And again, the media has been such a complicit mouthpiece to the women's organization. You notice how they always say the men and women in Iraq or the men and women in Afghanistan. It's very carefully worded. Did you know that only men are allowed to serve in direct combat? And 99% of all of the deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan have been to men. And yet you would make it almost the way the media portrays it. You would think that women were dying in numbers close to that of men. It is a terrible manipulation. This is one of the million examples of how women's organizations and guys who have been indoctrinated in our colleges today, and UC Santa Cruz is in the forefront of this, have been indoctrinated to believe that men are still the privileged, like you've heard the term white privilege and male privilege, that really does not reflect the realities, and men are the disposable sex. 93% of workplace deaths occur to men. 99%, as I said, of war deaths occur to men. And yet, all we hear about is the heroism of women.
It's unbelievable. 479-1080. I can't believe there's nobody that's called in. Usually, when I say that, the phones all light up. But 479-1080, if you want to be on the radio talking about men, Men's Issues with Marty Nemko, who's our guest. Marty, what's your website?
It's martynemko.com. I've written hundreds of articles about about men's and boys' issues as well as career issues, and it's all free. All my columns. It's martynemko.com. MartyNemko.com. I want to make a point about the double standard issue that you mentioned at the very top of the show. You know, if women have a deficit, even if it's a relatively unimportant deficit, I mean, men have the ultimate deficit, they die 5 years younger. But let's say women are underrepresented, quote unquote, in engineering. We've seen billions of dollars of massive redress and affirmative action and reverse discrimination programs. And yet when men have the ultimate deficit, they die younger. All we see is another run for breast cancer. Why the double standard? Men are the disposable sex.
Bades in Santa Cruz, you're on AM 1080. Thanks for calling 479-1080. There you are. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're on the air.
I think I might be the first woman to call. I've been saying this for a long time. I have a son who's 11, and when I think commercials are just despicable. They make men and boys look so foolish.
Right.
And I think it actually reflects poorly on women because it's sort of okay socially to make fun of men, but not women. And for some reason, that sits poorly with me. That just makes me feel badly. So what do we do with an 11-year-old boy? I have a daughter as well, but what do you do?
It's a great question. I mean, one of the things you certainly want to do is you want to – there are a few movies, for example, that portray males positively. The Harry Potter movies, Willy Wonka, if your kid is younger, and also reminding him that this is a pendulum. This is what has happened in the pendulum of history. And you may have to do what many parents of black kids have done in previous generations. They say, son, you got to do twice as well to go half as far. This is the era, unfortunately, which your son is growing up with. I can't lie to you and say we can change the system. I have frankly given up because the media has so censored me. And not just me, but all of us who have tried to argue for fairness. We're not some, saying women stink, men are great. We're interested in is fairness and fair based on the merits. And all we get is silence. So I think you've got to, and also encourage. Don't moms too often try to turn their boys into sons. They try to, into women, into girls. They don't let them roughhouse. They're so afraid that, God forbid, they'll fall off a tree and break their leg that they have them do nice little quiet things. Let your boy be a boy. If he breaks a leg once or twice, the net benefits of him being allowed to be physical and assertive is ultimately going to be better for him than if he, even if he has to break a bone in the process.
Thank you. And let's take the next call at 479-1080. Mael in Santa Cruz? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for calling 479-1080 to be on the radio.
Thank you. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but I'm thinking that the reason women have the services and the position they do is because they coalesced and they united and they fought for those things. And if men want equal consideration, I think it's going to be up to them to coalesce and unite and fight for those things.
Good question. And whenever men try to unite, they get shot down as sexist. Think of all the men-only clubs that have been picketed by women's organizations, and they're forced to disband. When women start an organization, it is applauded. It gets media coverage. When men have an organization and they want to organize, they are lambasted as critical. When they try to start, even in the high schools, a boys' or men's issues club, it is thrown away. Women's and minority organizations are encouraged and funded. And in addition, yes, on average, women are more likely to collaborate and join groups. But even when men do join, they are shut down, period.
I imagine that this goes for funding, efforts to get funding, too.
Yep, that's what I said.
in the high schools, in the colleges, when they try to start a men's organization, generally there are all kinds of either formal or informal roadblocks in the application process. When women want to start a feminist organization, there's all kinds of facilitation that goes on to help make sure that they do get funded. You look at the number of women's organizations and men's organizations, and you get a really clear picture.
John in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling 479-1080 to be on the radio. John,
hello.
John, go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing?
Looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, I was born in Mexico regarding to the children in school and how the boys are always looked down at for trying to achieve even further. I went to school over there for about a year or so, and I liked that all boys were in one class, all girls were in another class. Because I saw when I got into the curriculum here in this country, boys don't concentrate because they're constantly looking at the girls and the girls are constantly looking at the guys. And, you know, the whole aspect of schooling gets thrown out the window. You know, when you get kids with hormones going, you know, always blamed it on hormones, always blame it. But when I was over there, I remember, you know, there was none of that. And we had a male teacher in our class, and the ladies, the girls had a female teacher in the class. So it worked out great where our PE classes were all boys, all girls had their own PE classes. You know, everything was segregated that way, and it worked wonderfully. For me, it did. You know, for me, it did. And when I came here, I kind of like was in the school like, okay, what's going on here? And I saw this. I used to like sitting in the back of the room, you know, and I looked. The girls are over there throwing little, you know, notes at the boys, and the boys, you know, none of them were paying attention, you know. And then, yet again, you know, in regards to men being lambasted, you know, the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, you know, now there's women in there. It started as just for men, but then yet there's a the women's organization. No men can come in. Why
there you
is
go.
That?
Good point,
you know,
John.
Why is that? You know, because it's like, you know, come on, you can't have a double standard, you know. Yeah. And then there's a little sign in front of it that says, you know, regarding, oh, my God, I kind of just slipped my mind, empowering, you know, eliminating racism, empowering women. What
John,
does that mean?
We totally get your point. I want to move through some calls here. Laura in Santa Cruz.
May I make a comment before we go on?
Oh, go right ahead. And Laura, stay right there. We'll take your call.
Yeah. There are endless numbers of examples of this where women are encouraged to affiliate and men are not. Rotary, which is a wonderful organization that has helped cure polio and does an incredible amount of good work, was a men's organization, and they were not allowed to be, and they had to be a women's organization. But their counterpart, which is Soroptimists, which is a women's fraternal organization, very similar, it is allowed to be a women's organization. Perhaps most telling and current, the White House, President Obama, has very heavily funded, with Michelle's help, a White House Council on Women and Girls that has a lot of money and a lot of clout. And I am on a commission to establish a White House Council on Boys and Men, and you know what's happened? It's been ignored, rejected again and again. They are not interested whatsoever. Today in this society, especially the Obama administration, is the worst enemy that a boy or a man has ever had.
Laura in Santa Cruz, go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. I am a young mother of two boys. I actually agree that there is something definitely wrong. I see it in the schools at a young age where girls are becoming more aggressive, more vocal. They seem to be very good at manipulating everything around them. I'm a woman, and I know how a woman's brain can be very powerful and kind of get what they want. Now, I don't know where it kind of went out of control. Maybe this generation is spiraling out even, you know, at a worse direction than ever. But I am concerned about my children as well, and, you know, my father, who's considered an elderly person now. I'm not sure, you know, what, you know, other than educate my children, what else, you know, we can do to.
Yes,
Girls are encouraged to be all they, they're encouraged to be smart and sassy and what they call efficacy, efficacious, having their own agency. Those are all like code words for, yes, using the manipulative skills that many, not all, but many females tend to have. And boys are completely discouraged from being those, at having those attributes that are quintessentially male, which is aggressive, physical, competitive, louder. And so boys are meant to feel that they are unworthy, and girls are meant to know that they are gods, whether it be in the schools or in the media. It is ubiquitous.
Yes, it is, and I do notice that boys are, you know, like you say, they're not, if they want to voice their opinion, then, you know, maybe by their peers or their family members, you know, they kind of take it in as a negative. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't say what you're feeling or, you know, get over it. You know, that's, yeah. I believe that that's part of the issue as well.
As I said it to a previous caller, the best you can do is try to provide some good boy role models for your kids. Have them have good male friends. Don't try to turn them into girls. Let them be relatively physical. Let them be aggressive, as long as always kindness or at least fairness is primary. You're not trying to turn them into Neanderthal monsters. You're trying to get them to be fair. But being aggressive is a good thing. Take them to good movies. You know, let them be boys. Have scavenger hunts. Having, you know, I think those are the kind of, have, if your husband is in the picture, he can be a really good role model. If he's not, get him a big brother. We have to do a lot, but in the end, this is women's era. And I believe if I had a son, I would tell him, you had the misfortune of being born at a time where women's role, women's ways of being are, forgive the big word, hegemonic. They're dominant. And you need to understand that, just like parents of blacks in previous generations need to tell their kids, it's tough being a black person.
Yes.
Right now, it's very tough being a boy.
Okay, we're going to pay some bills right now, and we're going to come back and take
some
more
calls.
Hey, folks,
are you stressed out lately? Stressed out about your job? Stressed out about your family? Stressed out about your relationships? Well, sorry, I can't help you there. But if you're stressed out about your real estate situation, maybe I can help you. I'm Randy Turnquist, longtime local resident and California realtor. Don't hide your real estate problems and just hope they'll get better by themselves. You need the information and the knowledge to make intelligent decisions and take action. If you'd like a private conversation about your real estate situation, give me a call at 477-3173. If you're stressed out about your real estate situation, I may have a solution for you. Remember, talk is free, and who knows, I may be able to help. So if you'd like a private conversation, give my private phone line a call at 477-3173. Don't hide your real estate problems and just hope they'll get better by themselves. Give me a call at 477-3173.
Hi, it's your old friend MZ who's been meaning to rave to you about our fabulous new concrete parking lot here at your favorite radio station. Now, when you drive up to our building, you'll no longer have to worry about your car disappearing into a sinkhole and having to make arrangements to be winched out. We're so proud of our new one-of-a-kind designer concrete parking lot, conceived and installed by the renowned Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete and his crew of genius artists. I invite you to stop by KSCO at 2300 Portola Drive and behold the absolutely beautiful customized job Whitlow Concrete did for us. I challenge you to find a better, classier parking lot anywhere in the county, or the state, or the country, or the world. Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete knows what he's doing, and he has the best crew imaginable working for him. Check out Tim's masterpiece, RKSCO parking lot, and then call Whitlow Concrete to make your property more valuable. 475-4499 or WhitlowConcrete.com. Whitlow Concrete is diamond certified and a proud member of Think Local First.
If you think of Popeye when someone mentions olive oil, it's time to visit the True Olive Connection in downtown Santa Cruz. Hello, I'm Susan Pappas of the True Olive Connection with an invitation for you to come on down for a taste tour of the world of extra virgin olive oil and balsamic vinegars. Visit the family-owned True Olive Connection at 106 Lincoln Street in downtown Santa Cruz. Co-owner Mona Silva and I will introduce you to flavors you never knew existed and teach you how to mix, match, and blend the olive oils and balsamic vinegars that will have your family and friends believing that you are a culinary genius. In fact, you will be a culinary genius when you discover how much extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars can add to your dining. Don't think of Popeye when someone mentions olive oil. Think of the taste you will enjoy when you visit the family-owned True Olive Connection at 106 Lincoln Street in downtown Santa Cruz. For more information, go to trueoliveconnection.com. And by the way, you'll find the best gift ideas this side of Tuscany at the True Olive Connection. Opa!
Special bulletin to KSCO listeners. It's confirmed. America's toughest sheriff, Joe Arpaio from Maricopa County, Arizona, will appear on the next Saturday special. KSCO has long been a supporter of, advocate for, and admirer of Sheriff Joe for having the guts to go against the tsunami of terminal political correctness that is drowning this country. His stand on enforcing illegal immigration laws that most other law enforcement agencies choose to ignore has made him quite the enemy to those who have no respect for the laws of our society. And alarmingly growing number of people. Sheriff Joe has been embroiled in controversies involving alleged unconstitutional jail conditions, racial profiling, abuse of power, feuds with supervisors and superior court judges, and yet he keeps getting soundly reelected. Lately, he's made news by suggesting that Obama's birth certificate is bogus and computer generated. Listen to Sheriff Joe and maybe even talk to him this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Appreciate Guts and Balls Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
KSCO. We have about 4 minutes before one. I'm taking you all the way up till 2 o'clock. My name is Glenn, and when I'm on the air, KSCO is the station that rocks. And we're talking about men and boys and everything to do with men. And if you're interested in chiming in, we'll take your calls next hour as well. We're coming up against the clock right now, but we do have Marty Nemko on, who's our guest. And we do have one caller, and that's Jim in Santa Cruz. Jim, welcome to KSCO. Jim, welcome to KSCO. There you are.
Hi. I just want to say, when I grew up, my dad, he worked all day. He came home. He worked around the house. We were made, I mean, before we could go play on weekends, we had to fill up bags with weeds. If he was doing something, we had to help him. And then at nighttime, you know, or during the day, my mom wouldn't let us sit in the house. I mean, there were six boys, and they'd get out of the house. It's a nice day. Parents nowadays just let their kids sit in front of computers and play these games. Then when I had my kid, there is no way I would let my kid sit like that. And I think a lot has to do with lazy parents that don't get involved with their kids, just let whatever it is to babysit them, whether it's a game, a TV, or whatever. And then we're also taught that you aren't the only one. You are a part of a group. You're not so important. I think a lot of kids nowadays are putting their heads that they're so important. They're so this. All this. Have to build their egos up. You have to build this baloney. You learn that you live right. You live as you want somebody else to treat you. You treat them. And it's very simple. Just nowadays, it's just too much people trying to get into their heads. Like, oh, we got to worry about this. I don't see any kids playing in the street. I used to put tricycles to my German shepherds and have them pull me around and then pack a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and head towards the hills and just be gone all day. And nowadays, it's just, I don't know.
I want to leave about 60 seconds for Marty to say something. Marty?
I know you wanted to talk about dating, so let me just give a quick...
Well, you know what I can do? It's totally up to you, but if you want to come on for maybe 5 or 10 minutes into the next hour, we can have you back on.
All right, 5 or 10 minutes, then I've got to run.
Yeah, not a problem at all. So we'll carry you over to the next hour. We're coming up on CBS News, but go right ahead. Do you want to comment on what Jim had to say?
Not particularly. I mean, it's certainly right that having accountability, whether it's a boy or a girl that you have, having them, you know, not spend too much time passively, but having them feel responsible is certainly very important. Who could argue against that?
in the few 5 or 10 minutes after the news, let's talk a little bit about dating, what's fairness for men and women in dating, and a little bit about the courts. And I think that's about it. You're up against the clock, like you said.
Awesome. Well, you're a broadcaster yourself, so you understand what that means. Anyway, my name is Glenn. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. And we are taking your calls about men and boys issues. If you're interested in calling, we're going to take your calls again next hour at 479-1080. It's time now for CBS News. It's 1 o'clock.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says no more. No more paying bounties for defensive hits that take key players out of games. Just won't fly anymore.
This type of behavior and accepting this type of a program is not going to be tolerated.
Goodell on the NFL Network says that after suspending New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton for the entire season and his defensive coordinator indefinitely without pay.
We were misled. And there were denials throughout that period. And meanwhile, there continue to be risks to our players and to the integrity of our game.
In Jerusalem today, as in Paris, funeral services for the 7 victims of the professed Al-Qaeda terrorist on a motorbike. The killings happened in the Toulouse area, and the suspect continues to hold off the police who surround the building he is in and try to talk their way to an arrest without further violence. Afghan officials say they are more satisfied with the U.S. military response to the massacre of 16 civilians in Kandahar. This as the Army takes another and closer look at its mental health programs.
We have in the military writ large over 50,000 folks in uniform who have had at least 4 deployments.
And Army Secretary John McHugh admitted repeated deployments are probably the leading cause of stress, but said it would be hard to link that to something like the massacre in Afghanistan.
The fact that this is receiving understandably so much attention, I think, underscores that very fact.
McHugh said the challenge has been finding enough mental health experts. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
American servicemen still missing in action in North Korea will remain that way. The U.S. is suspending efforts to recover the remains of thousands.
We do hope at some point to be able to re-engage the effort. As I said, this is a top priority, but it's suspended for now.
Pentagon spokesman George Little says North Korea's bellicose statements are provocative and now is not the time to undertake recovery of MIAs. A turncoat government scientist goes to prison for spying.
When he was first charged with attempted espionage, NASA scientist Stuart Nozette could have faced life in prison. But following a guilty plea, Nozette has now been sentenced to 13 years. In court, he expressed remorse for what he called a fatal lack of judgment, which was vividly captured on video with an agent posing as an Israeli spy. Nozette casually negotiates the sale of top-secret national defense files, telling an undercover FBI agent that he's seen everything that the U.S. has ever done in space.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis is in Washington. Just being in a hospital can make an older person forget things. It's a new study in the journal Neurology.
The average effect of being hospitalized on cognitive function was equivalent to the effect of being more than 8 years older in the study.
Dr. Robert Wilson at Rush University Medical. On Wall Street, the Dow down 36 points, NASDAQ up 4. Oil prices a little below 107 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This is chuckle time because most of us are stressed out with worry about the direction of our beloved country. Let's take out a few moments to laugh. My son Lou shared this one with me, and it's called Law Dilemma. A young law student, having failed his law exam, goes up to his crusty old professor, who was renowned for his razor-sharp legal mind. Student, sir, do you really understand everything about this subject? Professor, actually, I probably do. Otherwise, I would not be a professor, would I? Student, okay. So, I would like to ask you a question. If you can give me the correct answer, I will accept my mark as it is. If you cannot give me the correct answer, however, you have to give me an A. Okay? The professor agreed, and the student asked him the following question. What is legal but not logical? Logical but not legal. And neither logical nor legal. The professor thought about it for some time and could not answer that question. So finally, he gives up and changes the student's failing mark to an A, as agreed, and the student goes away very pleased. The professor continues to rack his brain over the question all afternoon, but still cannot get the answer. So finally, he calls in a group of his brightest students and tells them he has a really, really tough question to answer. What is legal but not logical? Logical but not legal? And neither logical nor legal. To the professor's surprise and embarrassment, all the students immediately raised their hands. All right, said the professor, and asked his favorite student to answer. It is quite easy, sir, says the student. You see, you are 75 years old, married to a 30-year-old woman, which is legal but not logical. Your wife has a 22-year-old lover, which is logical but not legal. And your wife's lover failed his exam, but you have just given him an A, which is neither legal nor logical. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather, sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s to mid-70s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour through the afternoon. Boaters forecast from Monterey Bay, westerly winds around 5 knots through the afternoon. Wind waves 3 feet. Westerly swells 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. 68 degrees at KSCO, 73 in Watsonville, 70 in Salinas, 67 in Monterey. A couple of problems to report on.